The Truth News Network.
When you can't tell the players without a scorecard, when men identify as women, white women identify as Native American, rich, privileged Hollywood types protest wealth and privilege by going to jail for abusing wealth and privilege, and no one has the brass to speak the truth, there's always TNN,
the Truth News Network.
And here to throw the lightning is Dan Newman.
I so much appreciate you being here today as we together are celebrating our nation's independence. It's Independence Day. You know, with even the excitement in my heart about living in the greatest country on planet Earth, I'm sad today. I looked on and it was pretty sad for me to watch the American women's soccer team take the field in the World Cup semifinals in Paris. The sadness came as the Star-Spangled Banner played and U.S. soccer star Megan Rapinoe knelt, refusing to stand to honor her country. I shook my head, once again questioning what the heck is going on in the minds of all those who are choosing this one place, this one instance, in which to display their angst for their living in the greatest country on earth. For professional athletes, and also for many amateur athletes, former San Francisco 49er quarterback Colin Kaepernick started the trend of athletes kneeling during the national anthem. What could possibly be the impetus for doing so? Rather than simply dismissing those who participate in this as being deranged or just simply disrespectful, I began to look for some answers. I, for one, could never do or say anything negative during or about the playing or singing of the anthem before any event. To me, it has always been a moment of honor for the nation. But more importantly, honor and respect that's due to the hundreds of thousands of Americans who fought to give us the freedom to say anything, even things that others do not accept. Why would Rapinoe and Kaepernick feel no sense of patriotism and thankfulness for all their success that came as a direct result of the things that Star-Spangled Banner and the flag represents? I struggled for the answer. And then it hit me. There are two generations that have never seen war of any kind here in the United States. There have been wars and skirmishes in the last couple of decades, but there's been no such war as World War II, the Korean War, or Vietnam. To those in these two generations, war exists only in movies that, as far as they're concerned, are fictional representations of some mythical events that may or may not have happened. And certainly, those types of things could never happen today, not in this America, or so they think. Operation Desert Shield began in 1990 under President H.W. Bush. Desert Storm just 1 year later. The invasion of Iraq did not happen until 2003 under President George W. Bush. For a person to have a real firsthand understanding of Desert Shield or Desert Storm, that person would have had to be born before 1980. That eliminates a large number of those counted from those two generations. For a person to have a real firsthand understanding of the Bush 43 invasion of Iraq, that person would have had to be born before 1995. The only Americans who were old enough to have real memories and understanding of both of the last two wars in which the United States was a major participant would have to be 39 years old or older today. Let's be honest. Much has changed in how history is being viewed in America today, and especially by those 24 to 39-year-old Americans. Educators have changed American history taught to the last generations of America's children. We see the results of that every day. Historical statues being systematically removed because of bad memories they represent. Institutions of all kinds are changing their names, removing the names of U.S. founding fathers because of their being involved in slavery, even changing street names. In our schools, capitalism, the rule of law, equal justice under the law, a democratic republic, and many of the tenets from the U.S. Constitution itself are not simply being removed from classrooms. They are being attacked by our educators as being evil. As we saw this very week, the United States flag is under constant attack itself. Nike, for political purposes only, was forced to recall a new shoe that bore the image of the Betsy Ross flag because Colin Kaepernick notified Nike that flag was a symbol of slavery and was offensive to many. And just a side note here, when Kaepernick started his crusade back, I think now, three NFL preseasons ago, I thought he was protesting police brutality. And now, it's the Betsy Ross flag? Do you know what these millennials and Generation Xers don't get? None of these actions are tolerated in almost every other country on earth. Socialist and communist countries' governments would jail, if not execute, citizens who denigrated their government, its flag, or its leaders. But what is most amazing is to watch and listen to members of the American government, who themselves are immigrants who came to the United States to flee the tyranny of the governments of their native nations. They came here because they wanted to. Why did they want to? Because of the freedoms we have that are bestowed equally by law to every person on our shores. Yet they attack the very institution that gave us all the freedoms and the liberties they came here for in the first place. And in doing so, they cry for the same things to be implemented in America from which they fled their native countries. You know what? Freedom, the freedom we have here, is not today and it never has been free. It's not free to get. It's certainly not free to maintain. Often there are brutal prices paid by many for both. Someone is required to pay that price. I wonder today if Megan Rapinoe and Colin Kaepernick would continue to kneel in their rejection of what the U.S. flag stands for if they had watched as a flag-draped coffin containing their own brother, sister, aunt, uncle, father, or mother came home from a war in which that relative had volunteered to fight so that Megan and Colin and every other American could have the right to kneel at a football or soccer game, no matter how unbelievable it is to many that look on when the Star Spangled Banner was being played. John Quincy Adams, one of the youngest of our founding fathers and later became the sixth president of the United States, was invited as keynote speaker at a large patriotic celebration in Newburyport, Massachusetts on July 4, 1837. That was the 61st anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. Adams was personally involved in the founding of our nation. Here's just a paragraph of his speech that day. This is former President John Quincy Adams. Why is it that next to the birthday of the Savior of the world, your most joyous and most venerated festival returns on this day, on the 4th of July? Is it not that in the chain of human events, the birthday of a nation is indissolubly linked with the birthday of the Savior? That it forms a leading event in the progress of the gospel dispensation? Is it not that the Declaration of Independence first organized the social compact on the foundation of the Redeemer's mission upon earth? That it laid the cornerstone of human government upon the first precepts of Christianity? According to John Quincy Adams, on the 4th of July, 1776, the Founding Fathers had taken the principles that came into the world through the birth of Christ and used those exact principles to birth the nation, thus joining Christian principles in civil government in what he called an indissoluble bond. Adams was also known as the hellhound of slavery because of his lifelong fight against slavery. He is the only president to serve in Congress after his presidency. He spent those years fighting for the freedom of all slaves. He never saw the freedom he fought for occur, but his efforts had profound effect on the future. By the way, one of the pallbearers at his funeral was a young man from Illinois named Abraham Lincoln. With all of these thoughts in mind, with all the consternation politically, culturally, socially in our nation today, stop for a moment and think, where would you be today had it not been for the fact that you're an American that you were born or you immigrated to the United States of America, and you today live in the greatest country on earth. What if you didn't? Keep that in mind. Watch and listen to this presentation of a really simple concept.
It may sound old-fashioned, it may be passé, but I believe that we are blessed every single day to live within the borders of a land where we can see that everyone is equal and everyone is free. Our values and our valor still remain. So every time old glory is raised, I will stand for the stars, I will stand for the stripes, I will stand for the ones who laid down their lives. So we can breathe in freedom, every woman, every man, for one nation under God, I will stand.
I suggest you stand. Have a great July 4th. So long, everybody.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.